is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Not Too Late Show, where it is never too late to step into your power, express your gift, discover your genius, turn up your light, step out, and be the gift that you came here to be. I am your host, Miche Meisner, and I am also your guest, Miche Meisner. Not only that, I learned today that the phone lines are not quite available for call-ins, so please be patient. And, you know, it's just me. It's just me talking and you listening this time. So good news is I'm pretty good at talking some more. So not to worry. I can fill this up. I actually was just, and by just I mean like 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, on a call interview in a friend's Facebook group trying to do a call live. And even though these cold lives were working for just like yesterday, today we were not having a very good day of it. And, you know, it just made me think. We had to try three or four times to be able to get me into the live with her so that I could also, you know, be on the screen and be speaking. And like every time I tried to join her live, the system shut me down, cut me, popped me out of the live. And then finally we were kind of going after the third or fourth try. I was using my phone at this point instead of my laptop because I couldn't get in on my laptop. So I tried my phone, which I don't normally do, and discovered that when somebody calls me on the phone, at least on this new phone, because my other phone died, see something going on there like a pattern. With this new phone, it turns out that if you call me while I'm on a Facebook Live, the phone thinks that, well, hey, you're more important than my live is. And so twice, right in the middle of a really, you know, crucial point that I was making, I got popped out again. And I had to, you know, log back into the live and request, you know, to join, to actually be one of the presenters. So it was challenging and ran later than I thought because we started, you know, we didn't get going for at least 20 minutes after our scheduled time. So I am a little flustered and also a little bit energized at the same time. And with that said, I'm going to take a breath here and just, you know, slow it down a little bit. You know, do you notice, you know, for yourself when things are going on, do you get all tense? Are you able to stay calm and maybe try, you know, some other way to accomplish whatever it was that you were trying to do? Or, you know, do you get all stressed out and tense and worried? And certainly as I would have done some years ago before I got the self-love, self-acceptance thing down, would totally have been chewing myself out for, I don't know, not having, you know, tested the system before or some, you know, whatever was going on, somehow it would have been my fault in my own head, you know. And I wonder, you know, if that's true for any of you. Are you blaming yourself for things that are not your fault? They're not, you know, you didn't do them, you didn't create them. And, you know, sometimes, maybe oftentimes, you can't fix them either. And for me, the thing to do in a moment like that is to, you know, accept what is, and just let what is be, even if that's just for a fraction of a second, and just take a little breath and not blame myself, not yell at myself, and instead, in that moment of taking a breath and being kind to myself, it allows my own resourcefulness and creativity to come through, and sometimes there is something that can be done, right? You know, when it didn't work on the laptop, I was able to think and recollect that in the past, you used to actually have to do it, a co-live on Facebook, using both people had to be on a phone. And then they changed it, and it didn't have to be that way anymore. You know, if I was busy yelling at myself about how this was going, I don't think that I would have remembered and been able to, you know, grab the stand for my phone and hook it up and, you know, get into the Facebook live with my phone. And since it was a video thing, it even occurred to me, since it wasn't set up, you know, as my kind of video studio thing, it even occurred to me to lift my hydraulic seat, right, my office chair, so that I was going to be looking eye level at the camera in my phone, because I had it on a stand that I couldn't lower. So instead, I had to raise myself. So all of that to say, I think that when we are being kind and compassionate to ourselves in any given situation, when we are able to stay present in maybe a neutral way, if not, you know, an outright sympathetic or empathetic way, but to just be neutral, we are in a more open, expanded state, available to find our own resources, and I think also available to receive messages or insights or inklings from the universe. And that was actually kind of what I wanted to talk about. So in a very roundabout way here, I'm getting to the point or the topic, you know, which has to do with getting messages. And, you know, sometimes with just asking, like outright requesting, demanding, saying, hey, I need a sign, right? I need some confirmation from universe, creator, source, mother, God, Gaia. You know, I've got this confusion or this difficulty or this challenge. I don't really know what to do. I need some help, and I need it now. And I also need you to make it so clear that, you know, that I'll like trip over it, right? And the thing is, I think that we can get that, but that even the messages that have that level of specificity and clarity, if we are still in this state of enervation and frustration and, you know, worry and trying to wrangle the situation and wrestle it to the ground, we're not available to even notice when, you know, something, when a message or a sign or a confirmation or a wink from the universe comes along. We're too self-involved with our struggle and our fear and our survival mode. And so the more you can, trust that the answer is going to come, or just even trust that it's going to be okay regardless, then you can relax and, again, open up and expand into resourcefulness, into presence, into noticing. You know, I think that for me, and I think others, for years when we wanted to, you know, have like a sign from the heavens or whatever, we imagine that it's going to be like this big billboard on the side of the highway, right? This like, I don't know, 50-foot sign, you know, in big block letters saying like, Miche, move to Arizona, or, you know, something, right? Like, and it's going to be that big, that loud, that clear, and that immediately on demand. And it does sometimes come like that, you know, and sometimes it comes in a much more painful way where, you know, like the universe has sort of been trying to send you messages and trying to give you a hint about something, and you keep ignoring it or avoiding it or not noticing it, You know, I think maybe it was Esther Hicks talking about how, you know, oh, we're going to get your attention. You know, first we'll whisper, and then we'll say it louder, and then we'll yell, and then we'll shout, you know, and then this one might not have been hers. I've heard it from other places. Then you get hit upside the head by the cosmic 2x4. You know, it's like your guides, your angels, creator, trying to make a point with you. You're not getting it, and could be just like, whammo. Okay, now you're going to listen. And in fact, you know, when you're in a situation where you need to make a change, maybe you know you need to make a change, but we're not really change-happy species, you know. It does pretty much require most of the time that, like, our hair's on fire or, you know, the seat was just dragged out from under our butts and we just fell on the floor. We don't take to change easily most of the time. And so sometimes it is that cosmic 2x4. But what if you could cultivate a different awareness, a different relationship to the present moment, a different vocabulary even for asking and for receiving guidance and support, and it didn't have to be so painful or so jarring. And still, you know, it may be, and we are not in control of everything, not by a long shot, so it's not like, you know, other people don't wind up sort of insinuating their stuff into our stuff, you know, and it's not like something harsh happens and, well, you caused it or you called it in, or, you know, I'm not saying that. But I am saying that I believe that we're each of us on this journey as divine beings, as spiritual beings who are living here in this earthly human form. Mainly, my belief, you could believe whatever, but that it's mainly about stepping into greater and greater love, being love, the energy of love, and expanding and discovering who we are as beings, as awareness, as souls. And so I think there is this trajectory, you know, of wanting to expand and understand ourselves or become more. We get sort of trained and constrained into usually trying to be less or trying to be more like someone or something else rather than more ourselves. And for me in my life, that was a very painful path to spend my life trying to achieve, you know, some proficiency at being someone else. And actually, going back to this Facebook Live that I was on, that's, you know, a lot what I was talking about, sharing how as early as the age of 5, somehow I got the message, I don't know how, but I understood that my job here, I was supposed to save the world. And I had no idea what that meant. What was that supposed to look like? How was I supposed to pull that off? And I felt totally alone in that. And I was listening to someone else speaking in a speaking coaching group the other day, and she used the phrase, insults to my soul. And, you know, I sort of expected her to then go on to say, okay, and I know I'm rambling and I'm digressing, hang with me here, but I expected her to then, you know, talk about, I don't know, some, you know, abuse that had been perpetrated against her as being insults to the soul. And actually, the next thing that she mentioned was having been in the Coast Guard for years and being part of the rescue swimmer team, and how more often than not, those rescue missions wound up being recoveries of deceased people rather than being able to rescue people. You know, and this was years ago, and technology and speed and, you know, proficiency maybe is not what it was now. Anyway, you know, the concept that this was an insult to her soul, that this was like something that, you know, like put a dent in this deep level of who she was. And it, that phrase really caught my attention and kind of struck me, because it feels fitting, you know, for me in my struggle to save the world throughout most of my life, and not always not knowing what that was. Like, that was, it's like each time that I tried something, tried to be something, tried to learn some new healing modality or coaching or co-counseling or, you know, whatever it was that I attempted, even if I was great at it, and I have to say many of those things I was actually pretty good at, but it was never enough. I mean, all of it was seen as a failure from the point of view of, you're supposed to save the world. You know, I mean, how many hundreds of people could I have saved or helped or healed or just, you know, made feel better for a day? But compared to, you're supposed to save the world, it wasn't even close, you know. And so I kept searching over the years, you know, into teenagehood and young adulthood and full adulthood and middle agehood. And it wasn't really until I was in my 50s that something happened, and there were messages, little messages and big messages, that really put me on to understanding that I still didn't know how I was going to, you know, pull it off, but that who I am, who I was, who I had become through those years of living, I think I was 53 when this happened, it all took me right into that moment, right? Right place, right time. There was nothing that I had done or become or that had happened to me that didn't somehow fit into making me who I am, who I was in that moment, and understand that who that person was in that moment was just right. And began for me unfolding and sort of digging up more of who I am, and permission to be who I am, and valuing who I am. And so actually what I have since come to discover as how I'm going to, you know, quote unquote, save the world, is by helping other people give themselves the permission and the love and acceptance and compassion required to truly be themselves. So my mission is to help you be the youest you that you came here to be. And I am trusting that as souls, we each came into this lifetime to grow and expand ourselves, and also to help grow and facilitate the expansion and shift to a kinder humanity for the world. And so every one of you who I help in any even smallest way to be kind to yourself, to love yourself, and to allow yourself to be yourself, I went from not knowing what to do to understanding that just that alone is what I need to do, what I'm supposed to do on my path. So, you know, in the intro when I say, you know, it's not too late to step into your genius, to discover who you are and to be the gift that you came here to be, I mean exactly that. That who you are, who it is who's already inside you, right? The teacher says that the oak, the acorn has already within it the oak tree that it's going to become. You know, it's not going to become an apple tree. It's not going to become a maple. It's already within. And I have come to know for myself and to believe in general that who we are, who we came to express ourselves as, already exists within. And it's not about trying to force ourselves to fit into someone else's mold or model or constraints. It's about how to love yourself into expression and expansiveness, and to be who you are. Be who you came here to be, and when you are who that is in this moment, it fosters growth and change. You know, I'm not saying that who I am at this moment is like the end result of who I'm going to be, but I have come to believe that, you know, the right time, right place, like who I am in this moment is just fine. In this moment, right time, right place, right knowledge, right expression, right radio show, right? And it's okay. And when you come from a place of like, it's okay and you're okay, that's when you are available to yourself and available to the universe, available to people. When you are, you know, hanging out in your life being you, you are sending out the vibe, you are shining the light, you know, that is your particular signature frequency. And the people who, like, are meant to connect with you, either to, you know, receive something from you or to gift something to you or to share something or co-create something, that's when we find each other. You know, when you're just really being out there as you, is when other people can see and recognize you. And I mean that in a good way, right? So that's a whole lot of like roundabout and setup, you know, to tell you this story that was really a catalyst for understanding this. So I was about 53 years old. I was still struggling to discover what I was supposed to do. I was still actually not just struggling. I was agonizing over it. I'd already been living a lifetime of depression and feeling suicidal. I believed that with this task that I was given, if I couldn't accomplish it, I didn't deserve to be here. And then aside from that, I felt like enough of a misfit and just non-conformist, non-traditional, hyper, super sensitive. Now we might call that, you know, psychic and intuitive and empathic. And not quite as, you know, derogatory sort of thing as, oh, you're just too sensitive. All this stuff, you know, I felt like if I didn't accomplish my objective, I didn't deserve to be here. But outside of that, it was so uncomfortable living this way that I didn't even really want to be here. And yet I did, you know, and yet I, you know, had life, I had love, I had aspirations, and I still, I think, had some belief that I was going to solve this mystery, or at least maybe I was going to figure out how to get out from under it, you know, because I recognized that not everybody was walking around feeling like this, thinking that they were supposed to save the world and that they required themselves to be, you know, above average and more dedicated, or, you know, just doing more than everybody else, right? And that was quite a burden. Okay, so here I am, 53 years old. I'm still struggling with this. And I'm working, it's been for 20 years by then or something, as a custom jeweler. Was actually doing fairly well at that time at it, and it was nearing holiday season, so busy time for me. And yet, as good a jeweler as I have been, as I had become, it wasn't enough, because that wasn't about saving the world. So I was still looking. And in that period of time, I was actually co-facilitating a course on happiness with a dear friend of mine. And, you know, how's the irony for that? Depressed, suicidal, not sure I want to be here, but I'm going to teach you how to feel happier. And actually, the thing is that it worked. I mean, I was able to teach that. I was able to impart, you know, tools and understandings and teachings along with my buddy there. And even though I was having struggles applying that, you know, to myself, and I wonder, you know, how many of you you know, find that for yourself. Like, yeah, you can teach it, you can talk it, you can share it, but can you offer that same sort of, you know, compassion or understanding or kindness or flexibility to yourself? And I'm going to guess that for many people, the answer is no. You know, that we're much better at being there for other people than we are being there for ourselves. So, okay, so here we are this day. I'm, you know, making jewelry. I'm thinking about, I'm teaching this course on happiness with my friend Barb Ryan. I will mention she's been a guest on the show. She's going to be a guest again in a couple of weeks. Just so, you know, put that in context there with her. I had recently come up with the idea of creating, I don't remember, it was a, like Pinterest or Instagram, to create this like board, this wall of photos of people being at peace, just being peace. I don't remember what particular, you know, war or travesty we were in involved with, you know, back then, but there was something and it felt like something I could do to sort of seed the world in this way with peace, with the energy of peace, with the being of peace, you know, soak the world in peace, whatever. And I think I had also recently kind of reconnected with Tibetan Lama teachers I had been studying with and had something going that I wanted to help accomplish in that. So I had a lot, at least a lot on my virtual, in my head plate. And so in this afternoon, with all these things in mind, feeling excited about them because they all felt positive and, you know, in the right direction, I got a phone call from a good friend of mine. And I, in my excitement, I was sharing all of these things. And in her different point of view, you know, her response was, you know, that's really a lot to try to take on. And, you know, don't you think you should just kind of focus and, you know, why don't you just stick with being a jeweler? And, you know, being a jeweler was a good idea, but getting that response really kind of burst my bubble and also felt like I was not being, you know, the struggle that I was on, this mission that I was on, I wasn't being, you know, heard or seen, because if you really heard me and saw me, you would understand, you know, that I can't just be a jeweler because I'm on this mission. So with my history and still active depression at the time, you know, something like that could have toppled me over emotionally and laid me out, you know, to a degree of, you know, days, weeks, even months of like not being able to regain my equilibrium, being, you know, have like really fallen into the hole of the depression and the despair and the self-hatred that I had been living with for years and years. And one of the other things that I had been involved in at that time, had just kind of started, was with a few friends of mine sharing this mastermind technique that I'd been learning about, you know, having like an aspiration or a request of the universe and having that where we would see that for each other, right? And we would hold that vision. So in an attempt to not get sunk and not just, you know, fall flat from this phone call, you know, I mean, from my response to the phone call, I put out a request. Initially, I put the request out to universe, creator, God, source. And then I also put in an email and sent it out to my buddies. And I said, you know, see this for me. I need help here. And what the request was, you know, loud and impassioned, and it was, I need help to know what I'm supposed to do. I need you to show me what I'm supposed to do here, and I need you to put it right in front of me and make it so clear and apparent and so incontrovertible that I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. And the things that I'm not supposed to do, even if they're really good ideas, to just let them fall away, you know, but that I don't know. I didn't know what to do and desperately wanted to know. So I put that out, you know, to send it up into the heavens and send it out in the ether, in my email. And in an attempt at still to not get caught, to not keep on the hamster wheel of going over what had happened and how I felt about it, blah, 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 I decided to go out on an errand and, you know, just close up my shop for a while. So I went, drove across town to buy some electronic device. I don't remember what it was. And then that was maybe 20 minutes away, I don't know, and then I could have just gone home back another 20 minutes, but instead I felt, I don't know, sort of compelled. I felt some inner, more than a nudge, I felt like, I don't know, was it a good idea? I don't even know if it was a good idea or not a good idea, but I felt like I needed to go to my partner's office and pick up our dog and take her to the dog park, like that afternoon, which is something that was not normally part of, you know, how a weekday workday went and was not in the direct line of home. It was, you know, another 15 minutes in the opposite direction. Anyway, so it took me out of my way, you know, took longer than it would have taken otherwise. And while I'm doing this, I pick up the dog and, you know, she's in my truck and I'm listening to on a CD of one of my teachers that I've learned, you know, healing and crazy woo-woo stuff from, talking about how sometimes you just have to let go and surrender to grace and to not try so hard and not try to force things to happen. So I'm listening to, you know, him teach about this, and I'm sitting at a red light while this is, you know, coming through the speakers. And the light turns green. I turn the corner, drive down the street, and about a half a block up the street, there's an overpass. And I happen to look up an overpass, and there's this teenage girl standing on the wrong side of the gate of the fence on the overpass looking to jump into the road. There was somebody already standing on the opposite side of the road trying to talk to her. I kind of heard him saying, you know, like, this isn't high enough, you're just going to get hurt and just get off of there and this, whatever. I pulled my car to the side of the road right away and, you know, without thinking, hey, you know, you're not a trained suicide emergency line operator or whatever. I just followed. What did I follow? I don't know. I followed gut instinct in the moment. I followed, it's like, it was like life was living itself through me at that moment, right? I was not sitting there thinking, oh, should I get out? Should I talk to her? Should I not talk to her? It's like, I saw it, I pulled over, bam, I was out of the car, standing, you know, basically underneath where she was, although not in the road in traffic, and asking her, you know, what's your name, what's going on, how did you, you know, what are you doing here, what's happening? And she actually started to talk to me and told me some of what had been going on in her life that brought her to this moment. And you know, I said to her, I don't know what any of that feels like. I haven't been through what you've been through, but I can tell you that, you know, for like more than 40 years now, I have struggled with depression and with not wanting to be here. And I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to be hurting so much that you do not want to be here anymore. So I can understand that. And taking a note from this guy who, you know, I had overheard before, I said, you know, and in fact, this overpass really is not very high. And there's not, I mean, there's a good chance if you jumped from here that, you know, it's not going to kill you. And let me tell you, like, if you think that life feels, you know, too hard to handle and to be here for now, imagine what would happen if you jumped and then you wound up in a hospital, like in a body cast, and you couldn't even, you know, feed yourself or take care of yourself. If you think, you know, that what you're going through now, like, sucks, this is going to totally be so much worse. You know, and like, let's talk about this. Let's find some other way to get you through this. And she didn't move, but she was listening. And I asked her for permission to come, you know, to walk up the steps across the way and to come across the overpass. as to where she was, and she said, okay. And by that point, there was also another woman who was kind of standing there with me and, you know, well, I wasn't listening to too much of what she was saying. I was pretty caught in the moment there, you know, but just saying, like, you know, it's going to be okay, or, you know, it's, you know, I don't know, just kindnesses, right? Just sort of trying to, you know, soothe her. And one of the things that I was aware of within myself is that, like, when I was telling her, you know, that I can understand, I can get, you know, how painful this feels, how it feels to, you know, just feel like you can't be here anymore, you need to end this or whatever. What I didn't tell her is, like, you know, and, don't worry, you know, we'll just get you past this and it'll be okay. And, you know, a year from now, everything will be fine, or next month or whatever. Like, because even at age 53, I still didn't know that for myself. I was still having my own struggles, you know, around being here. And I knew that whatever I was going to say to this young woman, I was not going to bullshit her. And I couldn't tell her anything that I didn't believe myself. So I didn't say any of those kind of flowery, like, don't worry, you know, whatever things. I was saying, like, I hear you. This is really incredibly painful and terrible. And, you know, let's talk about it. Let's find some other ways. Like, this doesn't have to be the answer. And so by the time that this woman and I got up onto the overpass and standing opposite, you know, of where this young woman was, and asked her, like, you know, would you come back on the other side? And she said, you know, I'm scared. I think I'm going to fall, like, to try to climb over, because I think by then, I don't know, you know, her legs were probably numb from just standing there. Anyway, I assured her, you know, that I could assure her. I was like, you come back, you know, come over, we will catch you. And we did. And, you know, she came over kind of in a rush of energy and a heap of body weight, and knocked us both back a bit, but we managed to, you know, catch her and hold her and hug her and tell her, you know, you're okay right now, you know, and thank you. And, you know, she's like, oh my God, my parents are going to kill me. I was like, yeah, I think that your parents are going to probably be really grateful and glad that you, you know, are still with us. So that was huge. And I don't know what happened to her. She was a minor. I wasn't able to, you know, follow up. While we were busy hugging her and trying to console her, a couple of police officers who had been standing on the other side of the overpass had run up the stairs and come and handcuffed her. And where they were before and why they were just letting me, you know, take the lead on this, I don't know, you know, from their perspective. But they did, and then they, you know, they took her with them to, hopefully, you know, to, like, I guess she went to the psych ward, right, and hopefully got help that she needed. And I like to think, you know, that she is still with us on the planet and has found some healing and found her way, and maybe is even, you know, speaking into some microphone somewhere, telling other people about her side of that story that I'm telling you now. I don't know. What I do know, aside from the incredible relief and happiness and adrenaline and whatever of, you know, helping to save this young girl's life, was that, and this I don't think came to me until a little bit after. I mean, by the time that the police came, my whole body was shaking. I was, you know, filled with adrenaline. I was just, like, beside myself. My throat was ready to choke up, you know, and just shut down on me, even as I was trying to say things to this young woman. I went home, and it was, I think, shortly after that, that I realized that I really understood that that was the answer to my prayer. That in the hour and a half or less that it had taken me to formulate this prayer and send it out, go out on these errands and go here and there and elsewhere, to wind up at that right time, at that right place, to be there for her, I was absolutely guided by, I don't know, by my angels, my guides, by source, creator, universe, whatever, but I was sent there, and every step that I took, no matter how, you know, on my path or off the path it seemed in that moment, got me exactly where I needed to be to help this girl stay alive. And that I understood in that moment that I already was on my path, and that I wasn't alone, and that who I was enough, and was actually in that circumstance exactly right. And that I also felt that I was put there to have this experience because I also in that moment got to be the compassionate, understanding, sympathetic, listening, respectful adult that I could have wished, could have used to have in my life when I was going through this. I was never standing on the side, you know, on a fence on a bridge. I never actually attempted suicide. I felt like I wanted to a lot, but I could have used the grown-up for my teenage self that I had become. And there was this incredible healing in that, and understanding that, and the depth of that, and the profundity of all of that that had happened, and how this incredible, like undeniable, out of the ordinary circumstance showed up right after, you know, my asking to be shown, allowed me finally to give myself permission to be who I was and stop trying to be someone else and to accomplish maybe somebody else's life purpose or journey. And it was the beginning of settling in to who I am, to being able to like myself more, to appreciate myself more, to take stock of who I had become, of what I had learned, of the struggles that I had been through and so far lived through, and all the modalities and whatevers that I had learned, ways to be helpful and to be of service that never felt like enough. Suddenly, I was able to trust that I really was in my life in the right place at the right time, and that my my task, my journey, my path was in a very simple way to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and letting life actually live itself through me and unfurl and unfold as myself, right? To be that acorn growing into that oak instead of thinking I should or could or ought to be growing into something else. And it wasn't the end of my struggle. I mean, I still have my challenges, but it was a very strong opening to more of who I am, to trusting more of the intuition that would come through me, to psychic information. I was somewhere in there also practicing remote viewing and just wanting to, you know, expand myself, my skills metaphysically and healing work. And I just was able to really sink into being myself. And then, you know, all these practices and modalities that I had learned, I was able to come at them or come with them through the filter of me rather than trying to filter myself through these practices and these things that other people had discovered for themselves. You know, this was these trainings and whatever, like, yeah, other people can learn it, but these were all things that the inventors or the receivers of these techniques and modalities, that was their path. That was their thing. It wasn't mine. And so I've been on, you know, this much more powerful trajectory since then. And the foundation of that is about self-love and self-acceptance and self-compassion. And in all of that, you know, is coming back to what I was saying before, it has become clear to me that that's my purpose here, or at least part of my purpose here, right, is what my job is to be the best me that I can be, and in doing that, I'm also modeling that for other people, right? I'm like showing other people like, hey, self-love over here, and this is one way that it could look. I'm also sending out that frequency and vibration because, you know, we're always putting out electromagnetic field around us, literally. And so what you feel and what you're believing is kind of broadcasting out. So I'm sending that out. And my work that I do, no matter whether it's the spoon bending that I do, no matter whether it's coaching or speaking now, the radio show or other speaking gigs or... one of the other things that came through was this like divine download of a healing modality unlike any of the others that I had learned. So it feels very much like mine, like given to me, through me. All of that is focused on helping you, helping, you know, whoever's coming to, whoever's supposed to be working with me, hearing me, connecting with me, to help you be, as I said before, the youest version of you and be the gift that you came here to be. And so that, in a very, you know, roundabout side lanes and alleyways, is my story about how I got to where I am, the struggles that I've been through, and how I have had to learn to love and appreciate and respect myself, and how that is ultimately what I want to offer assistance to any of you who could use that, you know, and just out into the world. And, you know, I guess nowadays, unlike when I was five in 1965, you know, hey, I could have a radio show, I could write an ebook, and it can get all the way around the world, and who knows, you know, who's going to pick up that book or hear that thought or understand for themselves that the task is to learn how to know, like, and trust yourself in order to simply be yourself and let that be the who and what that you came here to be and to share with the world. And with that, I close my monologue and I thank you for listening. I do want to tell you that on this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific time and 1 p.m. Eastern time is my next spoon bending workshop. And maybe you can imagine after having listened to me for nearly an hour that I'm not going to only teach you how to bend a spoon with your hands and mind over matter, which I am going to do. But through it, and the reason that I do it is because the way to access that is through self-love and through being present in the moment and allowing something else, something new to come in. And so it has become a very tangible and accessible way for me to show you, to teach some of how powerful we are, how much more than our human suits we are, and how much access we have to additional capacity to work with energy. Everything is energy. So to work with ourselves, work with emotion and beliefs and spoons and matter. So I'm not going to, you know, go into a whole lecture on that. You can come and join me on the workshop if you want to learn more about that and if you want to, you know, sort of, I don't know, it's like bust your mind and your life open in this new way to new possibilities. I'm asking $22 to attend to this, to attend the workshop, and also offering it to be more if you can, less if you can. So less if you can't. More if you can, less if you can't. So that, you know, if you sincerely want to join me and do this, I welcome you, and, you know, whether that's $22 or $1 or $100, I'm going to post the link in my Facebook page, the Not Too Late Show Facebook group. And you can also message me or email me at MicheShines@gmail.com. Miche, M-I-C-H-E, Shines, S-H-I-N-E-S, MicheShines@gmail.com. Just let me know that you want to join me for this workshop, and I'll get you the registration information, and we'll get you hooked up. So thank you for that, and if that resonates with you, if it sounds like fun, if you're ready to, you know, tip your life and learn something new, then come on and do that. You can find the link in the Not Too Late Show Facebook group, or message me, email me at MicheShines@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Facebook. You know, if we're connected that way, that's cool too. So thank you again for listening. I thank everyone. I have taught hundreds of people by now how to bend spoons. And every time I do that, well, I like to say now that I am changing the world one teaspoon at a time. And this is how I'm doing it, with the spoons and this message, and hopefully helping people liberate themselves from their own inner critics and confiners, right? So go out there, be the USU you can be the gift you came here to be, love yourself, be kind to yourself, be kind to other people. Over and out. Thanks.